It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where for almost 5 years or 6 years, I don't even know how long it's been anymore, we have been talking a lot about how to understand the complexity of who we are as human beings. And of course, we're physical. We know that. But we're also emotional. And I think most people would say, yep, that's true. We're definitely emotional beings. And then on the other two aspects, it's the matter that you're intellectual or mental. You should be growing a little bit every day, learning new things, whether it's a new concept or whether it's just something you hear, you know, maybe on the television. But you're going to learn something, hopefully, every single day. And then the fourth area is our spiritual connection to a higher power. And so this isn't necessarily religious. What it is just understanding that we are so much more than just the physical form that you look at in the mirror. And when you understand that, then you have access to what I just call higher powers. I know I have, whether it's a guardian angel or angels, or whether it's a guide that's with me. But if we get out of our own way, and that's the key, and I tell that to people I'm working with as a therapist, we have to be willing to relinquish that power that we have over ourselves and kind of say, okay, I'm not doing the best job of guiding myself. So maybe I need somebody else or another entity to kind of come in here and show me the direction I need to go in. So I've been telling people that I'm relocating back to Wisconsin. And the number 7 and the number 11 are huge, huge numbers for me. And if you look up their spiritual meaning, you'll kind of understand why. But my birthday is on the 29th of the month. And of course, that is an 11. And that's a what they call a master number. But at any rate, 7s are really big for me too. And so I was really trying hard to find the perfect place for me to live. And I was looking, and it didn't resonate. Nothing felt like this is it. And so I finally realized I was working too hard at it. And I went, oh, I'm sorry. I'll relinquish this. You show me, you being my spiritual side, show me where I need to be. Lo and behold, there is a building that is 8 stories high in the downtown area of where I'm relocating to. And the 7th floor is where I'm going to be living because they had an opening on that 7th floor. I wanted a view. And so I have a view of the whole city, plus the river. I wanted it to be light and airy. The windows are floor to ceiling. And I also, the outside address of this particular building is 115. And there's your 7 again. So 7th floor, 115, which adds to a 7. So I was like, gotcha. You know, when I step out of my own way, then things fall into place. And I think that's what we have to understand about living our best life is we need to get out of the driver's seat in many cases and allow for ourselves to be guided in the direction that is in our higher and best interest. So having said that, I would encourage all of you to step aside sometimes and see where your life will go if you turn it over to your spiritual side. I think they would love to guide us more often, and they kind of sit in the wings waiting for us to ask for that guidance. And so if we allow it to happen more frequently, who knows where our lives will be. I have as a returning guest, Stephen Stepp, and we're going to be talking about guaranteed lifetime income. And before I turn it over to him, I want to remind everyone that all the shows, excuse me, are on my website, which is synergyconnectionradio.com. If you go there, there's way over 400 shows now. And Stephen has done the show with me several times before. So you'll find him in that location as well. Secondly, there is a link to Boomers Forever Young, and that is a supplement company that I've been affiliated with for over 8 years. It is what has kept me incredibly healthy, in spite of the way my voice sounds right this minute. I have some allergies right now, and they are kicking in big time. If you go to their website, you'll see all kinds of testimonies. I think they're up to something like 2,200 or 2,300 testimonies from certified customers who are loving their products. And Stephen uses one of them. They are just amazing. You can't find them any other place kind of products. So they're not huge in numbers. We have, I think, maybe 25 different products, but they all work. And a lot of places, the products they have maybe more, but they're not all of that. I'm not sure the word I want to use here, but reliable maybe in that you get the outcome that you want or that the product is promising. These products promise and they deliver. And so I would encourage you to go check out the testimonies, listen to some of the videos, check out the background on the products and the research on the products. One of the new products that I have mentioned quite a few times now is one called Myotrol. So it's MYOTROL, Myotrol. And the inventor, Eric Kurtz, he has a lengthy explanation of why this product works. If you go to that website, you can read more about it and you can listen to Eric talk about it. It does build strength and stamina, and in conjunction with using it with either the heirloom barley or the gladiator barley, you get even more results. The funny part about this particular product is it is not just for strength and stamina, although that was primarily the reason that the inventor created it. What the company is finding out is that this product works with people that have autoimmune disorders. So somebody that has Lyme's disease, somebody that has fibromyalgia, things that there are no cures for. It seems like when they get on Myotrol, what happens is the symptoms go away or they're greatly diminished. And if you know anybody who has those conditions, you know how much they suffer because they have absolutely no stamina whatsoever. So I would really encourage you to check out what Eric Kurtz has to say and read about the Myotrol. And if you decide to order anything from this company, they've allowed me to offer you 15% as a discount. So all you do is put in my first name, Lucy, and it automatically applies the 15% discount. So in today's economy, and that's what we're going to be talking about in just a second, it is pretty important to take advantage of all the discounts you can find. At least that's what I think. All right, thanks for being back on my show, Stephen. And we're going to be talking about lifetime income. And you and I chatted for just a couple minutes before we started. And what I have found is that when people are stressed about the economy that we're in, it affects them, not just emotionally or intellectually or physically, but their whole life is impacted by the uncertainty of where we currently are. And a guaranteed lifetime income implies, at least to me, that that uncertainty is diminished, if not eliminated.
Yep, absolutely. And thank you for having me again. It's one of the things I like about you and your show is you, I feel, genuinely care about your listeners and other people and really want to show them ways that they can feel better, look better, be better spiritually, financially, every other way. And I have taken the Gladiator barley and I'm about ready to reorder and definitely believe it has helped as well. So thank you for all of that. It's very interesting in what I do in financial planning, and with most people, if they go to a financial planner or if they work with a broker, About 90% of the conversation and the efforts and the products are all designed about accumulating assets and money, right? The goal, of course, is a safe, secure retirement. But they never actually even get into that. It's all about, well, we'll do this and accumulate money, and we'll get real estate and we'll accumulate money, and we'll have higher income from certain financial planning products, and that will all get saved up so that at retirement, you'll have enough money to comfortably live a safe and secure, retirement. And they spend about 10% or less of the time talking about what that retirement is really going to look like, and how are they going to spend it down, and are they, and what are they doing to make sure that they don't run out of money. And there's another side to that, is that many people are so afraid of running out of money that even though they have saved up for a nice retirement, they're not apt to spend the money because they want to make sure they leave some for their heirs, right? And they also want to make sure that they don't run, when they get in their 80s or 90s, that they don't actually run out of money and are dependent on other people. One of my mentors, Tom Hegna, is well known for in this area. He always says, when in retirement, you have your go-go years, your slow-go years, and your no-go years. And our emphasis today is more on the go-go years. And the idea is that when you retire is when you're going to have the most time, the most assets, to do things, to be in your go-go years and do what you thought you wanted to do when you travel, see grandkids, give to charities, do all these things that you had planned on doing in retirement. And then you kind of slow down and do less of that. And then you go back, eventually get to the point, whether you're in 80s or 90s, that you're almost doing almost none of that. And so it's actually, you're going to spend more of this money that you've saved up for retirement, probably earlier in your retirement, and less of it in later in retirement. But it's interesting to me, if you think about it in a two-dimensional way. 90% of the time, people are spending time, money, effort, planning on getting up one side of a mountain. They're accumulating, they're saving, they're growing. There's ups and downs to all of that. There's risks to all of that. There's tax advantages to some of it. But the whole thing is to get to the top of the mountain, however you define top of the mountain, whether that means having $1 million saved up, $2 million saved up, $5 million saved up. Your number is going to be your number, your situation, and how you envision your own retirement. But that's all the planning is around that side of the mountain. And very little of the planning is like, okay, so once that happens and I'm 65 or whatever my retirement age is, and I start taking monthly or annual money from all these savings and investments to fund my life, you basically are kind of going from having paychecks to creating playchecks, right? But you want your playchecks to make sure that they cover all of your fixed expenses and the other things that you were hoping to do and desiring to do, in your own retirement. So it's very interesting that, all these planners will help you get to that goal that's the top of the mountain, however you're defining it with them. But very little time is spent on this. Well, how much are you then going to be able to spend each year? And what is that going to allow you to do? And have you accounted for inflation, or have you accounted for medical problems or long-term care, along the way? Now, all those things have a big part of getting down that mountain safely. And if you talk to a mountain climber, they say the dangerous part is not climbing the mountain. The real dangerous part is the coming back down the mountain, because if you mess up there, you're just gonna fall all the way down. And so it's always been interesting to me that people are always accumulating. They want to accumulate. I just finished working with a doctor who has to take his required minimum distributions because he's 73 years old, and he hates it, and he doesn't want to do it. And he almost, it's only because the government is forcing him, to do that. And for him, it's all still at age 73 about accumulating. How do I keep growing at 73, even though I'm supposed to start, taking the money out? And In my practice, more and more, I'm finding the more I can help people create several pathways to tax-free, tax-deferred, and taxable income, and make sure that income is there, make sure that income is actually growing to account for inflation and things that might happen. The better the plan is, and a lot of this will happen long after I'm helping them, if it's 20, 30, 40 years from now. But especially with younger people, I'm constantly talking, it's not so much, it's not only about how much we're accumulating for retirement, but how is that money going to come out in a safe, secured, long-term way. And we're all familiar with one form of that, and that's Social Security, right? We pay in all the time while we're building and earning into Social Security. And then at age 65 or whatever age we turn it on, there used to be a whole science to maximizing that, and there still is a little bit. But then you have a retirement income, and that's part of the picture for most people, that you're getting from Social Security, and it's paid for the rest of your life. There is no limitation, on it. Almost everything else, unless you're specifically setting it up this way, or looking at creating the income flow this way, is all about the accumulation and very little about the income side of it.
I was kind of curious with the fact that you have to start taking money at 73. Are you allowed to reinvest it so that he could just put it into a different vehicle?
Yes, in fact, you have to take it and you have to pay the tax on that. But if you're in a low bracket or you don't need the money, you can certainly roll it over. One of the common things we work with clients is roll that money into a Roth IRA. And
And then you don't have to pay taxes
that
on
way it's never going to be taxed again, and it's available to you, tax-free. Just yesterday, I learned about a client that it was an older woman. She hadn't needed to pay taxes and hadn't seen her CPA or paid taxes for about 10 years because her income, besides Social Security, was very low, and she fell under the minimums, and she didn't have to pay any taxes, and she wasn't filing any tax return. And then she decided with her son to buy a small house, and she had $300,000 in her IRA. So she called up the company and said, and her CPA, and said, "I want to take out $100,000 to buy this small house with my son." All well and good. And then she had to take out like $130,000 to account for all the taxes. Right. And then and it was going to push her up at least for that year into a higher bracket. And her CPA hadn't been telling her year by year by year, why don't you take up to, if you're in a 15% bracket, why don't you take up as much every year out of the IRA that you don't go into a higher bracket and pay the 15% and put it into a Roth? And had she done that, she still wouldn't have paid much, any very little tax, because she still wouldn't have been over that 15% threshold. So in essence, she was kind of wasting her own low tax bracket. And had she done that, she would have had no taxes, and she would have had the 300,000, most of it, into a Roth, and there would have been absolutely no taxes to take out. So simply by not being aware of that and not taking out more than the minimum, every year from her IRA, she could have avoided all of the tax, and in her one simple case, it would have saved her at least $20,000. So yeah, people do that all the time, and even so, if you don't need the money, it does have to come out, but certainly whatever you don't need could get rolled over into, another annuity that we'll talk about, or a Roth, or anything else. And then it's still there, and it's still growing, and in the case of a Roth, it's tax-free. So all good.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I think maybe there are some high schools now that are doing this, but wouldn't it be great instead of teaching just an economics class if we actually taught to juniors and seniors, at least in high school, investment, ways to protect yourself going forward, how you need to maximize the benefits of whatever plans your employer is offering. We don't do any of that. We just kind of send kids off to college with a credit card, that maybe we deposit money into for them to use. And that's about it. I mean, they still don't understand. Don't go into debt, put away a little bit of money every month, the whole penny. I'm sure you've given this example to many people, but if you start with a penny at birth and you just kept putting money into it, by the time I think it you're 21, you're a millionaire. That whole concept of what do they call that? I'm drawing a blank right now, but the concept of oh shoot, what I'm talking about, I know.
I think so. Yeah, just the interest earning its own interest and the money piling up.
There is a principle.
I'm drawing a blank on it too. It'll come to me though,
Right,
as we talk. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the money accumulating and then it earns its own interest and then the interest is earning interest and it all starts to snowball. And you hear a lot about that on the upside of the mountain, as well. Exactly.
So what actually, how would you describe, because I was looking up, this understanding of what equity indexed annuities are. So how would you describe that to listeners?
Okay, so there's a lot of different parts with regular fixed annuities and now with very popular index annuities. And the great thing about all annuities is that, well, people put money in either on a single premium basis, or they can put, or they can be saving money into it. A lot of IRAs will, and 401ks are funded with annuities as well. They're contracts with insurance companies. They're kind of the opposite of life insurance because the whole idea is to either put in a single premium or accumulate enough money into the policy. And then at some point, the definition of an annuity is at some point, it's going to be, you're going to turn it the other way around and you're going to start taking out a guaranteed lifetime income or an income for a certain period of years. Sometimes people will do that or they'll ladder the different periods of years. So they'll have some annuity, an annuity or two that is going to be used up for 10 years, and then other money will get converted into an annuity and be used for 10 years, and then other money. And theoretically, you're laddering them to use different companies and different interest periods and different things. The nice thing about equity index annuities is while you're accumulating and before that payout part, the money that's in the account can be indexed to. There's a number of different indexes. The most popular are the S&P, but there's even gold and real estate and several other market-driven indices. And the nice thing is that, and the reason that they're used a lot in IRAs and 401ks and outside is that they grow if those market indexes go up, but they can't go down. So if you have an equity index annuity that's tied to the S&P 500, which is the most common, if the market goes up, if the S&P goes up over the year, the first year you own it, then you get there's different policies and different rates and caps and whatnot. So that's a whole nother discussion. But the idea is that if that market goes up, you get up to like 10% of the gain of that market. And then on the that and the great thing is if the market goes down, that index didn't earn anything that year. You get zero new interest that's being added, but there's no way to actually lose money. So if the S&P 500 lost 10% or 20% or 30% or whatever it might be in a given year, you haven't lost anything. The equity starts it resets at the new lower index number, therefore it has a much better chance of gaining in the next year and the following years. And so in any given year, you're either resetting at a new lower number, or you're getting a gain and having that gain applied, to the policy. And those gains accumulate. And then at some point, with all annuities, the idea is to create a guaranteed lifetime income or period income and then have that laddered with other annuities.
So how does it work when you say a guaranteed lifetime income?
Okay, so all of these annuities, whether it's a single premium or whether you've been accumulating into them for a while, or if you roll over money that's in a another thing, it creates like a pension plan. Like the old days, everybody had pension plans. You worked for a company for 30 years, and as part of the package, you got a pension, and
Right.
that pension would give you certain you and it can be a joint life as well if you're married. And where it would guarantee to pay you a certain amount, either for single life or joint life, for as long as either one of those two people were living. And that's how most people, in addition to Social Security and what other savings or investments they have, that was the most, that's how most of them got their regular income that they would need at retirement time. Nowadays, it's seldom that you'll see a true pension anymore. And which is a bad thing for most people, because most people are not good planners, and most people really needed to rely on somebody else to do, all the financial choices for them. But within a big pension that's working for a big company where these things are kind of overseen. And so most people now are relying on themselves with their own 401k or their own IRAs or their own savings. And so it's forced everybody to be kind of a pension expert, regardless of what they actually do. And, doctors, plumbers, other people, unless they're CPAs or financial planners, they're not aware of, most of this stuff. And they don't know how to be, I wouldn't, if I need a doctor, I'm going to go see a doctor. I'm not going to go see another financial planner and vice versa. And so we have to rely on people that we know and like and trust, for these things. So now we are in charge of our own IRA and our own 401k and our own retirement. And we have to kind of at least know the basics of that so that we can take care of ourselves that way, or know exactly what we can expect in that way.
Yeah, I was just thinking your example of we would not you wouldn't in your case, go to another CPA and say, hey, I think I might have cardiology issues and would you please examine me and tell me what to do? That would not be a smart move. And yet, like I said, people don't understand. I don't understand, finances like you do. And you don't understand the things that I understand. So we need to be able to go to an expert in the field and say, what do I need to do in order to live my best life financially?
And you'd be surprised. I get doctors all the time who dentists, the same thing, all kinds of other professions where they're smart people, they're caring people, they're knowledgeable people, but this is just not what they do all day, every day. And I have so many other very high level professionals who, once they realize that they're, my wife calls doctors that go to the, who's their doctor? Doctors need their doctors too, right? It's for them to go, and she likes to go to people who are considered doctors, doctors. She asks them, where will you go? And then they tell her, and then she goes to them. But anyway, the whole idea is that you want to go to people who are, experts in that field, and maybe more than one or two or three, and find out what they're saying and find out what they're recommending and find out how they look at these things. But I'm never not amazed by how little other smart professional people know about these areas, and how much we can help them. Just like, if I needed to go to the doctor, I'd find the best doctor that I could for that, and I would go see them and hopefully like them and trust them, to do what they're recommending.
When do you recommend that, like a young adult, start looking? Because, like you said, almost no companies, I think a lot of the school systems still offer pensions to their long-term employees. but I don't know of very many companies anymore that have pensions. So let's say that I'm right out of college. I have, a reasonably good job. If I were coming to see you, what would you begin to tell me?
One of the things I would tell you is that, like, you just signed up with ABC Company. They're gonna go and see the HR person, and the first thing they're gonna do, or one of the first things they do, is sign you up for the 401k, right? And they don't even tell you how it's gonna be managed. You might pick up whether you're whether you really don't want losses or how you look at finances, but they're basically just going to enroll you in the 401k, and you're going to probably be told it's best to maximize it and put it in that. Unless you really need the deduction, unless you really look at your own tax situation, and it's going to keep you in a lower bracket or something like that, you're m almost 93% of all companies that have a 401k are also going to have a Roth 401k. And right off the bat, especially if you're a younger person, you're going to be much better off over the long haul with a Roth IRA. Some of the people in my business say that tax rates are, you can believe it, are relatively low, and historically they are. I've even had the term the taxes are on sale, right? And tax rates are most likely to go, if you ask most people, are tax rates going to go higher or lower? Something like 98% will tell you, oh, they're definitely going to go higher, and it doesn't matter whose administration it is. We have higher and higher debts, and higher taxes seems to be the norm. So with a standard 401k, you're deferring this income. You're getting a little bit of a tax deduction. It's not even a deduction because you will pay the tax, right? On the 401k, you're putting the money in. It will grow hopefully nicely, and at some point, you'll take the money out at retirement time, but it will be taxable. You're simply deferring the tax, which can be a great thing, but you're really just deferring the tax, and you will have to pay the taxes. So would you rather pay a small amount of tax while you're working, or a much larger tax after it's accumulated and done really well, and now you're older and reliant on that money? So, in everything that I do, the longer picture you can paint for yourself, the better. So a younger person, I would say, don't think this year or next year, and your CPA telling you to take this deduction this year. And if you do work for a company that has a 401k and they'll put money in for you or match, if even better, ask them if they have a Roth 401k, or the same thing with an IRA. If they put money in for you for an IRA or allow you to set up an IRA, great, but do a Roth IRA because the amount of money that you will save in taxes over your lifetime while you're accumulating, none of it will ever be taxed under current law. And then, even better, at retirement time, none of it will ever be taxed. You take the whole tax, the total amount of money that you're going to spend on the taxes for that. Let's say somebody puts away 100,000 a year, 100,000 over a number of years into a 401k, and the company matches it, and that may be 200,000, and maybe it's done really well and it's grown, and now it's $1 million in your 401k. Most people think that was great, and they think it's all theirs, right? Until they start taking it, and they realize that about half of it isn't theirs, right? So wouldn't it be better to have a little less than that, but all of it tax-free, in the Roth? And so, kind of back to your example, if you're 73 and you have to start taking money out of a 401k or an IRA, and you don't need it, do the same thing. Roll that extra money over into a new annuity, a new Roth IRA, and have it there, but have it be completely tax-free forever. So that's one thing I would do. And then the other thing with young people is I would say definitely start saving. However you're doing it, whether it's an IRA, 401k, a bank account, whatever it is, I can tell you that over 30 years of planning, that my best clients are those people who, as you talked about earlier, understand the importance of savings. And it's beneficial on so many levels. First of all, you're less worried about money because if you lose a job or you get disabled or you get sick or the roof falls off and whatever, you're not frantic about money. You've saved some money up and you have a pot that you can go to, for savings. And I found that my most successful clients, and I learned this kind of later in my life as well, but my most successful clients are the ones that from a very early on had this sense that they have to save, they have to pay themselves first. I've used that phrase a lot. I picked up from another planner. So if you make, 10,000 in a month, put 1,000 a month away for you first before you pay the bills. They're just as important as the phone company and the healthcare company and the dog and everything else that you're going to spend money on. So pay yourself first and make sure that you're taking care of you first. So those would be two of the things that I would look at. And then third is the longer picture you can take. When you're young, it's hard to see, right? When you're young, planning for 2 weeks out seems like a long way. When you're older, you start to learn that the longer an outlook you can take and try to imagine yourself when you're 50 and 60 and 70, how that's going to look, how that's going to play out. Because it's the same thing with health, right? If you're trying to take care of your health so that, I have a trainer and my trainer says to me all the time after a tough workout on Mondays, she'll always say to me, your 90-year-old self is thanking you. It's the same thing with financial. When you're 60 and 65 and getting ready to retirement, if you've had a constant ability to save no matter what, and to save, people talk about 10%, but my best savers are people actually who find a way to save 10, 15, 20% of their net income, and put that away. You're going to be so much, you're going to have less stress on the way up. You're going to know that you can handle things. You're going to be know that you're taking care of yourself. And when you get to 60 or 65 or 70 and you start taking this money out, you're going to be so glad that you were able to see further out.
That is so very true. And I don't think maybe people quite understand how damaging stress is and what it can do to your mental outlook, to certainly your physical well-being. So if you can eliminate stress where you can, and this is one area that you can, I mean, a lot of young people are graduating from college with these enormous debts. Because the college tuition today, on an average, is between $30,000 and probably $60,000 a year, depending on where they're going. And I saw something the other day which made perfect sense because we're still going to need plumbers and electricians and people to work on the cars, even if they're electronic. But we need all of that, and those are technical jobs, and they don't have those gigantic price tags, that go along with the liberal arts schools or going to law school or something else. But there's so many areas of our world right now that need help. And I think young people get caught up in the debt. Just here, at least in Florida, a one bedroom, small, like 900 square foot kind of apartment is costing people $1,800 and up. And they don't make that kind of money coming out of school. And so some of them are having to go home and live with family, or they're having to have multiple roommates. My granddaughter has three roommates in order for them to all split the bill. So they went into a bigger apartment, but that way they're splitting it four ways. So I don't know that they have, between student loans and between the cost of living in some parts of the United States, I don't know that they even have a lot of money left over to invest in themselves. And that's the sad part, is our economy has gotten out of control.
Yet they're probably at work putting a sizable amount into their 401k kind of blindly, not really looking at the investments, not really looking at the how much they're paying to have that money managed, not really looking at the Roth version of the 401k. Yeah, people, I understand, young people do have a lot of additional challenges, I think, than even we did when we were growing up. There's a lot of social pressures. There's a lot of pressure to spend money on things that we don't really need. And that's part of it. That's part of why we're, as a society, not spending. And so I realize for a lot of young people, that's the case. But I'm really, most of my focus, people, really don't come to me when they're in their 20s and 30s, unless they're already the children of
Clients.
parents and grandparents. And even then, a lot of them, they don't want to go to their parents' financial planner. They want to pick their own, which is totally fine. I was reading a couple of weeks ago that if somebody dies, if you have a husband and wife and you've been dealing mostly with the husband and the husband dies, 70% of the time, if you haven't been doing a good job of including the wife's going to go to another planner. And it's the same thing with kids. They don't maybe not want to go to, their parents', planner, which is fine. So that money's going to go, somewhere else, and that's all well and good. But so most of the people that come to me are, whether it's for bank on yourself, which we've discussed before, tend to be already in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and they're earning a good money. They're able to save, but it's putting it all together in a way that maximizes these things, that minimizes taxes, and that maximizes the after-tax income. One of the things we haven't touched on in any of our discussions, which I'm a big believer on, is that is things that can help you grow with inflation, right? So index annuities are great because they grow, but they can't go down. And so when inflation is up and stocks are up and the economy is up, they're growing faster. And then if in years where that's not true, you're not losing anything. And that's a tremendous inflation hedge. Laddering annuities or designing them so that they increase every year is another inflation hedge. You're assuming a certain amount of inflation. And you know what? If you get extra money that you didn't need because inflation wasn't that bad, that's never a problem. That's always a good problem. People often complain about too much taxes, but for the most part, if they're doing these other things and they still have to pay some tax, good for them. At least they earned it. So most of the people that I'm working with tend to be in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and it's a matter of maximizing these things. And one of the areas, and I don't do anything with this, I do myself, but I don't have expertise in this area, but I rely on other people that can also really help with inflation, is investing in real estate and actual property
Angela Parker.
all along the way. And that has helped me personally because it helps me keep up with it. Inflation. I'm looking at selling one property that I bought 10 years ago, and it's almost double what it paid, and it earned. And I had tenants who were paying, it was two houses, paying the cost of keeping it and upkeeping it, and a little additional return. The return itself wasn't that great, but 10 years later, it's worth twice what I paid for it. So
Exactly.
anybody who has real estate, especially rental real estate, knows that. And so that's another great area that a young person, if they can pool money together, or if they can, or when they do get in their 40s and 50s, if they have money to, in addition to all these other things that we're talking about,
Right.
that's another great inflation hedge. And again, I don't have anything to do that, about that myself, but I've seen in my own life that that's a big help as well.
Well, thank you for all of your expert advice. I appreciate it. And we'll see you back on the show later in the fall. But let people know how they can contact you. And of course, all of that information is also at the bottom of the synopsis in each of the podcast links. So whether they listen to Spotify or Apple or Google or iHeart, it's there. But let people know how they can reach out to you.
Yeah. So easiest way is my 800 number, which is 800-245-4677. If you call on a given day, unless it's late in the day, we will make sure that we get back to you that day, usually me. So 800-245-4677. And by the way, all of our when we meet with people, there's no fees or charges or expenses for what we do, unless it's something specific that they've asked me to research and do or something like that. But almost all of our clients, there's no fees or expenses or charges to meet with me. And if you end up working with products that we represent, I get a commission. I get paid. That's how I get paid on it. But there's never any other outside fee or expense or charge to call me up. And if we can help you, we'll be ha happy to. If we can't, we'll tell you where you might be able to get help. I get called all the time for debt consolidation. It's not something that I do, but I can refer you to somebody. Same thing for real estate. I don't sell real estate, but if that's something that you're interested in, there's people I can refer you to. And the other best way to reach me is my regular email for everything, which is my name is Stephen, Steven, Step, Step, at sbcglobal.net, Sam Baker Charlie Global.net. And those are the two best ways of reaching me. I think you've got a couple others, but that's the best way to grab my attention immediately that day and get a response that day.
All right. Thank you again for being my guest. Everybody, please go out there and share this show with people that you love because financial stability is definitely a way of showing that you care about somebody. So help them become more financially stable with the rest of their life and reach out to Stephen and he'll guide you along the way. Join me next week for another show, and please go out there and live your best life.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.